You're listening to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral.
Welcome to the All to Play For Euro 2020 post-match podcast brought to you by Joe and Coral with me, Lindsay Hipgrave, and you, Joe Cole. And England were on fire last night, thrashing Ukraine 4-0 to pick their spot in the semi-finals of the Euros, their biggest ever Euros win. And Joe, you're fresh off the pitch today. I was celebrating two brilliant victories.
Yeah, 3-0, Linds. None of my centre-halves turned up, so I had to drop into the back four. And Harry Maguire inspired performance. We kept a clean sheet and we won 3-0. I actually played centre half without heading the ball once, so worked that out. I was just covering round like a sweeper, but it was good fun. And we're going to go to the pub, you know, as soon as this is finished. So very, very happy. Two great wins.
Brilliant. Any hamstring injuries?
No. I think I've cracked it now. If I play centre half, I don't have to. I can pick and choose when I sprint, if I'm in the right position, so because I can't sprint anymore, my hamstrings and my knees and hips are in tatters, but I love playing. So I think I found my position. Joe Cole, the centre half, but who would have thought it?
I'd like to see that, definitely. But with England, Joe, it really does feel like something special is happening, doesn't it? Was that the most convincing knockout tournament display you can remember seeing from England?
Without doubt, Lynn, we've been threatening this performance for a long, long time. Yeah, something special has been brewing. You know, I've been banging the drum for this group of players for years now, and Gareth as a manager. And it was just, they answered all of the questions they needed to answer. You know, the first game away from home in Rome, on the pitch, big favourites, change the system again, bold decision by the manager in his team picking, but people, you know, the furore of who he picks and who he doesn't pick is sort of that noise is dying down now, because even people who would have played Grealish, who would have played Foden, you know, they're just believing in Gareth because he's getting the job done. And some of the football from the lads was stunning. Like, we need a whole hour-long episode to go through each and every one of the players, subs included, management, everything. It was just a fantastic performance. And you can feel the groundswell of pride when you're out and about on the streets talking to people about this team and this group of players, and the belief is growing. And what a performance. It was, everything about it was stunning.
How impressive is the way he's using that squad as well? Because as you said, everyone he's bringing in is justifying their selection.
Yeah. Do you know, it's incredible what he's doing, right? And because it's almost like a club team. He's switching systems, maybe bringing players in. He's playing certain players in certain games, and all of the players are buying in. Like, as a manager, it's tough to get that rhythm, like, and then getting players buying. And one player, you know, who's probably arguably Marcus Rashford hasn't shown his quality. We all know what a great player he is so far in this tournament. But even when Marcus come on last night, we're 3-0 up, 4-0 up, and he's back at the far post defending, you know, keeping the clean sheet going for lads. And like, that's a credit not only to Marcus himself, but for having that kind of that desire and that, you know, giving himself to the team, but also the group. Everyone who comes in, it's such an uncomfortable position for an England fan to be in, because, you know, we sort of, it's mock when we like, it's coming home and things like that. A lot of it is in jest and we enjoy the banter and we like that.
Yeah.
But genuinely now, you know, it's,
you can't believe that it can happen now. It's genuine.
It's two games, Linz, from immortality for these young players and this management team. And it's there. And the one thing to be mindful of on Wednesday night is the fear factor. It'll be a different game to Ukraine. I thought Ukraine would be a comfortable game, but it's managing the fear now, because it's not just belief, it's expectation now. And when Gareth names his team Wednesday night, there'll be nobody questioning him. Well, there will be people questioning him, but it won't hold no weight, because the whole country is just behind Gareth, behind his team.
There'll be, what, 60,000 there? How, as a player, can you try and use that energy rather than let the fear get on top of you?
You know, momentum, Linz. Momentum is so crucial in tournaments. And, you know, after the group stage, we had conversations with our guests and, you know, we're picking the bones out of certain performances and, you know, that wasn't quite good enough. That wasn't quite good enough. And I always said from the start, from day one, I said balance. We looked like we had good balance without being extraordinary with the ball, like taking teams apart, like we've seen the Dutch do, like we see the Spanish do at times. But the balance was there and it was building. The momentum was coming. And now that performance in a quarterfinal of a major tournament, regardless of the name of the opponent, Ukraine not being, you know, one of the big guns, that performance at that stage sets us up to not just believe now, we expect. And Wednesday night's going to be for these players, just go out there, you know, taking that environment and know that every one of the people, barring a handful of the people in the stadium, is going to be behind you. And that is what a feeling as a player that is. That is incredible. It doesn't happen a lot. And you remember in your career in them moments when it does. And you just got to just ride with it and just play with your emotion and your passion and just go and do it.
And I think part of that belief as well is coming from the fact that that's a fifth clean sheet in the tournament now. I think that's seven in a row for the first time in England's history now. We haven't conceded in 662 minutes, which feels like tournament winning defensive form. And I just love watching them, the way they're celebrating defending, the way we're used to seeing the Italians do.
Exactly. And they've got, and it's not just the back four. You can wax lyrical about Jordan Pickford in the back four because they've been fantastic, a lot of them, but also the boys in front of them, Rice and Phillips. But Mason Mount, there's a situation in the first half where Mason Mount wasn't at his spectacular best. He didn't score a goal, or do anything incredible in pitch. But there was a moment in that game when it was 1-0 and that they got a good bit of play and Dimitrenko got down the side and he cut a ball back. I think it was Dimitrenko or Yarmolenko. And he read it. He runs 70 yards. He read it. Defensive instincts. He got it and got England out. And it just snuffed them out. Like the Ukraine, just to get up the pitch, they had to make three or four fantastic passes just to get up the pitch because our press was so good. Like, and we just suffocated them. And it, after the second goal, it was like when a boxer's like knows he can't win a fight and he's just trying to cruise to the end of the game and not get hurt. And that's what you felt the Ukrainians were at times. They were just trying to wait for the 90 minutes and not have a little 6 or 7-0 when it, you know, and that would be success for them. We was outstanding and the character of the players is just, it's inspiring to watch.
What did you make of Luke Shaw? Because I just love watching him last night and he didn't start the first game, but what do you think of his contribution since then?
Well, he's been fantastic, hasn't he, Luke? And, you know, I met Luke a few years ago. I went to watch Manchester United train in Miami when he was under Jose. And he wasn't, you know, I've never met him. And, you know, he was seemed a lovely fella. And you look at him and what people forget about him, he had a horrific injury when he first went to Manchester United.
In the Europa League, he got it, didn't he, when he broke his leg?
Yeah, and people have questioned his attitude and his mentality. But to come back from that injury and get back to a level is an achievement. But to get back to the level he's showing now, a major tournament, you know, he needs a lot of credit. You know, we forget about that, and he gets a lot. He's had a lot of stick. He's come. So, a list of these players have come through a lot of criticism, and they seem to be in a position now where they're at. So many of them are at the top of their game.
And if this tournament had happened when it was supposed to last year, Luke Shaw probably wouldn't have even been in the team.
Luke Shaw, Mason Mount, Jack Grealish, Calvin Phillips. Timing, Linz, you need, listen, we've had 50, 60 years of moments not going for us. Some self-inflicted because our system was never in place to produce these players, you know, and I think the FA during the 80s, 70s, 80s and 90s took their foot off the ball and noughties as well in terms of the system. The way we played, the way I was taught to play as a kid was wrong. We wasn't producing the depth of players. A Steven Gerrard or a Frank Lampard will emerge, Rooney, because they're sent from the gods, them type of players. But tactically, we was inept. We were so far behind. But then the FA and the clubs got together, put a system in place about 15 years ago, 16, 17 years ago, and these young players are taught the game tactically and technically the right way. So we're producing the right type of players now for international football to compete. So they need credit for that. But we've so much hurt have been over the years and the moments weren't right. And now the players are dealing with the moment. They're not only are they the top players, they know how to mentally prepare for a game. They know how to see out a game. They know how to change systems within a game two or three times, play different positions. I was racking my brains about anything to say where I can put a bit of spin on it. Like I said, well, we need to be mindful of this or mindful of that. Everything about what's going on at the moment is perfect. And it's worrying as an Englishman because we're always worried
that we're expecting something bad to happen at any moment. Apart from maybe a couple of moments in the first half, maybe Kyle Walker was a little bit sloppy a couple of times. Apart from that, it's hard to find a fault in that performance.
You will not play 90 minutes of football against world-class players without making a mistake, you know, like Raheem's bad pass that let in Muller. Like this will happen. But what you have to remember is that everything else around it, the stuff that you can control, you control, you know, and then it's up in the air with the gods, you know, what happens. But the boys are just on it. They're responding well to mistakes. Raheem went and scored in that game after giving the ball to Muller. I thought he was excellent again last night. Sancho coming in was good as well. So, yeah, so many things that are just going well.
A first start for Sancho since that move to Manchester United, about 73 million. What did he show you that he can offer them?
I was a bit concerned, Gareth playing him, because, you know, when he alluded to it at the start of the game, he felt he gives us one-on-ones. And I've not seen Jadon Sancho enough. I've not seen enough one-on-ones. But, well, you know, Phil Foden's got one-on-ones as well, and so's Jack Grealish, and so's Marcus Rashford. So why has he gone with Jadon? But he dribbled with a ball, and he glided, and it got me off my sofa watching the game. I was like, right, okay, that's like, he took 2-3 players out of the game. And I was like, right, okay, that's why. That's Jadon Sancho. Like, now I know. Man United have got a fantastic player there. Like, again, it's another one where it's another bold decision by Gareth and another one that worked.
Do you think he'll be involved more now going forward?
Oh, for sure. For sure he'll be involved. We can't waste too much time talking about players who didn't play, because we need to focus on the players that are on the pitch, like building them up. But, you know, he'll either start the next game or he'll be first or second sub to come on to give us something different in certain aspects of the game. I think Gareth will do exactly what he's done for every other game. He's ignored the noise. He's put it aside. He'll look at Denmark and he'll go, which one of my players with their tools that they've got at their disposal can hurt Denmark? And I think Jadon Sancho, you know, that boy's got a lot of tools to hurt the opposition. So he's in the conversation to start the semi-final, that's for sure.
And you talked about Raheem Sterling as well. He's been brilliant from the start of the tournament, again last night. But Harry Kane has come alive as well. Is that partnership, that link-up between the two, just really clicking at the right time as well?
Yeah, but what about Harry Kane's volley? My goodness.
I know. I just thought it was for sure the hat-trick.
Oh, it was like, that's a player. The first two games, he looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulder, Harry. He wasn't like the player we've seen consistently over the last 7-8 years. Because it was in the brain. It's the mind of a footballer. Forget the right foot, the left foot. The mind is where it happens. And for whatever reason, Harry just felt a burden the first two games. But that's gone now. That volley, forget the goals. That volley, when he's hit that, first of all, there's probably 5 or 6 players in the world football who could do that. And you have to be confident to do it as well. So we've got now in our disposal one of the top 3 centre forwards in world football, on having the time of his life, confident. So we are in a great position with him. Any chance that drops to him Wednesday night, it's a goal, bang, no worries. We've got that in our and that will put the fear of God into the Danish.
And yeah. Sterling as well, when you look at the numbers, he's now been involved in 22 goals in his last 21 England appearances. For Kane, it's 27 goal involvements in his last 26. You feel like we've got the best 2 forwards left in the tournament.
Yeah. And they're being supplied by whoever plays behind them or in the pockets. It feels like you're just constantly singing the praises, but you have to. We're so excited as fans, as ex-players. Now, I've not been at a tournament since 2010, so I've been effectively a fan for 3, 4, 5, 6 tournaments, whatever it may be. And even the ex-players like myself and my colleagues in the media, like, you feel that genuine love for this team. like belief, you know, we're going to do it. And I just, that helps. That helps as well. It's only like a tiny 0.5%, but it helps the lads because they don't need people constantly picking the bones out of stuff. We need to be critical. We need to be, you know, think where we can improve because it's part of our job. And the fans, that's what we get put on the screens for and that. But genuinely, you look at the boys in the studio and you listen to them and we're a reflection of the fans now. We love this team. We believe in this team. And, you know, we're just excited. And we've, like you said, we've got the two best centre forwards left in the tournament. So we fear no one.
And I love that Southgate as well was saying that he's spending all of his time really worrying about the players that he's not including in the squad, that he's got to leave three of them out. And he's thinking about the guys who aren't getting the minutes, like Cordy, like Chilwell. And Henderson was talking about the support that those players are offering behind the scenes in the changing room. And Southgate says they're the ones that are helping us be as successful as we are. They've just got that spirit between all of them, even the ones who aren't playing.
Well, listen, another thing to talk about is because I played with Connor in his debut for Liverpool, and I know the lad and I know the character. He's got with quality player in the back three for Wolves. He's been a fantastic player in the Premier League, and you wouldn't want a better lad to be in that situation because he would be genuine from the bottom of his heart driving the players forward. You know, some players can't accept not being the main man, but Connor would be. And Jordan Henderson, what a moment for him. 60 games and he scored his first goal. But the only thing that is taking him so long, because I know Jordan's quality, you know, and his ability to run into, I don't know how that's happened. He's not scored a goal.
Sorry, I was going to say it's the longest wait of any England player.
That is incredible because he's a talented player. But he's the journey he's had, the injury he's had to come back. Probably only him and his character. Only that type of drive will get him on the pitch and influencing games at this stage of the tournament. So like I said, all of these characters, all of the broth, all of the soup, all of the different characters in the dressing room, he's coming together. And Gareth saying what he said, that just sums the man up. You know, like, he's like, the empathy for them type of players. Because I've been in that situation. I've been to tournaments. I've played every game, every minute, or whatever. And I've been there when I've been the first sub to come on this. And then I've been where I've not played a minute in 2004. So I've experienced all of them. I've been in the shoes of all of them players and the different mindset it takes. And one thing I would say, without being disrespectful to the managers I played under, none of them could have touched Gareth for how he's doing it. And sometimes the lowest commodity in the coaching world, what people look at is actual playing experience. And Gareth's wisdom from where he's been, from missing the penalty in 96 and seeing Venables, seeing Glenn, seeing Sven, you know, that is invaluable. You can't calculate it. You can't give yourself a badge, an A license, this or that. But Gareth, that plus his ability to translate it to the players is unique. And it's just, he's the perfect man for the perfect job at the perfect time. And I'll just be just so happy for him and proud of him as an Englishman, you know, come Wednesday night when he takes us to our first major final.
And no yellow cards as well, so they're all available. I was getting excited every time he went to make a substitution because I just think for any opposition, that bench is frightening, the players he can bring on at any point. And that we did it, as you said, without Grealish or Foden last night.
But exactly. You know, and you look at that bit, and that's been the difference, and it will be the difference in these two games because Denmark, they can't change it up as much as we can during the game. You know, them boys are might have to play for 120 minutes and try and keep out Sterling, Kane, Grealish, Foden, Rashford, Sancho, Mount, like whoever, like fresh coming on at six. They can't do it. The Danish, they will not be able to keep us at bay. And even the Italians, a 36-year-old Chiellini and a 34-year-old Bonucci, if we got them in the final, how are they going to be watching Sancho come on after 80 minutes and Grealish come on driving at them with a ball fresh? You know, and the Spanish as well. Busquets, if we get them in the final. I'm getting well ahead of myself.
But you're allowed to now.
I'm allowed to.
I'm going to let you.
I'm going to get carried away because that's just me. And even the Spanish, how's Busquets going to deal with Mount running off him? And then when Mount comes off the pitch, he's got to deal with Foden. Like, I just don't think they're going to be able to deal with us. We're too young, we're too powerful, we're too confident, and coming home.
We've got all the options. It's 40-1 with Coral for Kane and Sterling. Balls to score any time and sure to have an assist against Denmark. And Harry Kane is now 4-1 with Coral to finish the top goal scorer at Euro 2020. I wouldn't put it past him. He's on three now. He just needs three more. Very possible.
A brace and the winner in the semi. That's job done for Harry.
Who is your man of the match then, Joe?
Gareth Southgate, like, I can't give it to a player. I can't give it to one of the lads because it'll be like, you know, like choosing between your children. Do you know what I mean? It's impossible. I've got to give it to Gareth because he's just got something at the moment. If I get the chance to chat to Gareth, I'm going to say, listen, Gareth, just give me six numbers at the top of your head and I'm going to put it on the lottery because he can't miss. He cannot miss at the moment. What he's doing, everything he's done is spot on. And we're going to have the fully fit squad going into the semi-finals. The Italians are going to miss Spinazzola. The Spanish will miss a couple. The Danes have... He's just managed everything spot on. So Gareth Southgate, man of the match for me.
He just makes you feel so proud, doesn't he? Oh. And this is a tough one because we've had so many good performances. But whose place would you say is in jeopardy?
Again, I'm going to give you the same answer that I would give for the last game. Means the only reason a player's place is in jeopardy is if Gareth decides to match up the Danes and go back to the back three. In that case, it could be Mason if he goes back to the three centre halves and maybe brings Trips back in just to match him up, because what that allows you to do, it allows you to have a steady start against the Danes. Be nice and compact, nice and composed. And if we was to go a goal down, you've got options. But then again, even if you play with the back four and you go a goal down, you've got options because you've got firepower on the bench. But I think Gareth, I called it going back to the back four against the Ukraine. I think he may match him up. Because I think man for man will then be enough to win the game. You'll fancy it.
And who should get their chance in that semi-final? Would you start with Grealish?
You know how much I love Jack Lins. This is such a tough question. But I think he's gone so far now. I think Jack's going to be a impact player. He's one of them. Gareth's going to know at Wembley, whatever happens, 60,000 people, if it's not going well, because Jack wasn't even great against Germany. And Jack would tell that himself. He had a couple of iffy touches and, you know, he only had 20 minutes. But what he'd done was, it lifted the fans. Yeah. It lifted Wembley.
Both the goals as well.
Key moments. He'll always give you key moments. That's what he's on the pitch for. But as much as I love Jack, and I would have started him every game because my philosophy on football is different with Gareth, probably why I'm here talking on a podcast and not, you know, I'm happy to believe in Gareth completely. His way is the way to do it. But Gareth knows that he's got that ace in his pocket. He's got Jack to come on to lift Wembley, and also in the current climate as well. How would them Danish players feel when their legs are heavy? They might be 1-0 up. Just say, for instance, they're 1-0 up with 70 minutes. Jack Grealish comes on. Not only is he going to cause you a problem with his ability, the whole of the Wembley is going to scream and shout and get behind and referee. Then if Jack Grealish goes down in the box and he's one of them where he's like 50-50, he's going to have 60,000 people at Wembley screaming for that. So like, all of these little things will tell me that I don't think Jack will start, but he ain't finished at this tournament yet. He'll have a big moment.
Just 90 minutes away from a first possible final at a major tournament since 1966. Say it quietly, it might be coming home, mightn't it?
It's coming home, Liz. We have to keep... Listen, we're all about this. At this podcast, we're about positivity. You know, we've said it from the start and we're gonna keep it going. It's coming home.
It's coming home. Joel, thank you very much. Great to see you. And we're back tomorrow. We're back in the pub in the All to Play For Arms. We've got former World Cup finalist Nigel de Jong with us.
What a tough man we've got, Lins, coming in here. He was an absolute beast in midfield. And it'd be interesting because he's played in a World Cup final. So we'd get right into him about that. And I didn't get past the quarter final on three occasions. So, you know, it'd be great to have Nigel in and ask him how that feels.
Yeah, we look forward to that semi-final against Denmark on Wednesday as well. You can find that show wherever you find your podcast or on the Joe YouTube channel. You've been listening to the All to Play For podcast brought to you by Joe and Coral.
You've been listening to All to Play For, brought to you by Joe and Coral.